All right, let's give a hand to the guys from CIA for leading us in worship this morning. Let's give a hand for all of our cooks this morning. We don't have cooks in this retreat. Have you noticed how Donnie's got it all organized? All right. We got Chick-fil-A coming in. We got Sonny's barbecue. Don't give a hand for the cooks. There are no cooks. You guys are easy. Give a hand for Donnie Dillon for getting this thing organized this morning. All right. We are in really good shape. You guys look really well. Anybody sort of feel a little tired? It's amazing what happens when you get too much sleep, right?
Oh, yeah.
It sort of knocks you out. Well, see if you can make a diagnosis as I read the following about this lady, all right? I decided to wash my car. As I started toward the garage, I noticed there's mail on the hall table. I decided to go through the mail before I washed the car. I lay my car keys down on the table, put the junk mail in the trash can under the table, and noticed the trash can is full. So I decided to pay the bills back on the table and take out the trash first. But then I think since I'm going to be near the mailbox when I take out the trash anyway, I may as well pay the bills first. I take my checkbook off the table and see there's only one check left. My extra checks are in my desk in the study, so I go to my desk where I can find the can of Coke I've been drinking. I'm going to look for my checks, but first I need to push the Coke aside so I don't accidentally knock it over. I see the Coke is getting warm. I decide I should put it in the refrigerator to keep it cold. As I head toward the kitchen with the Coke, a vase of flowers on the counter catches my eye. They need to be watered. Anybody, can you make a quick diagnosis? This lady's got ADD, all right? Can you tell you how many of you have ever been diagnosed with ADD, all right? Quite a few of us. When does your ADD kick in? I know mine does. Sometimes when I'm listening to somebody, I was right down the road with my son the other day. He's a college freshman. And he's telling me about all of these different things, you know, going on pretty long story. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, he turns to me and says, "Dad, did you hear anything I just said? Do you know what I was talking about?" Because he knows that my mind tends to wander in all kinds of different directions. And most of us have ADD in some kind of period of our life that strikes in. It's a common diagnosis. And here's what I want you to think about this morning. It's a common diagnosis for many of us spiritually. We've got attention deficit disorder. And as we continue on this journey about the principle of the path, well, you see, that's a big problem. Let's review from last night, first of all. Say the principle of the path with me. Direction determines destination. You know, I want to add an addendum to that. I want to add one more part to the formula. And here it is. Look at the next screen. Attention determines your direction. Okay? If your direction determines your destination, your attention determines your direction. When you understand that, it'll have a great impact on your life. When it comes to attention, we use a lot of different words to describe how something gets our attention. We say something grabs our attention. Or we talk about, I'm going to give attention to this. Or I think an even stronger word, I'm going to pay attention to this. Let's talk a moment just about these things that grab our attention. Sometimes just out of nowhere, something or somebody comes along that grabs your attention. You ever had that happen? I graduated college in 1981. I was working as a youth minister in church in 1983. And we went to this little town in South Alabama called Coffee Springs. And I was going to lead a bunch of college students on a campaign down there. We were going to knock on doors and try to help this church. Any of you guys from Troy know where Coffee Springs is? Anybody close? It is the middle of nowhere. It's right outside the thriving metropolis of Geneva, all right? Geneva, Alabama. And we go to Coffee Springs. This church only has 7 women. That's all they have. And so we go, we knock doors, and there's a young man who comes every night from Geneva to lead singing. And one night, he brings his sister. And I remember she's sitting on the 4th row. She's wearing this turquoise outfit with these pink little frills, and it's low cut. Well, not really, but it's this nice little outfit. And she, that very night, grabbed my attention. And she never let go of it. And I remember going back to the church secretary, the church I worked for, the next day and saying, you know, I don't know. I met this girl tonight. If ever I've met someone who looks like what I visualize my wife should look like, this is it. And before long, not only has she grabbed my attention, but she's gotten my attention. And now there are actually people walking around this world who would not be here if she had not grabbed my attention. And yet you've had that person or that thing that came along in your life, that defining moment. When I was younger, I remember a teenager riding my bike up to this like church bookstore. And I walked in, and it was right, some of you may be old enough to remember this, I don't see anybody, it was right when the New International Version came out. And somehow I decided to buy myself a copy of that. Now, I was a good Church of Christ kid. I was not supposed to have a copy of the NIV at that time. But I remember opening it up and reading the Word of God. And it making sense. I mean, I grew up on KJV, you know, or even worse than that, ASV. And you begin to read it, and it began to come alive, you know, and it began to make sense. And Jesus grabbed my attention, and He's never let go. But let me say this about things that grab our attention. Normally, they're not good things. The things that grab my attention often are things I should avoid. How many of you had maybe a person come in your life that grabbed your attention and you wish at this point you'd never met them? Maybe you got in a friendship that caused you a lot of pain and trouble. Maybe you got in some kind of dating relationship that led you down the wrong path. Or maybe it was some kind of outlandish business opportunity that someone got your attention about and you jumped in the middle of it and years later you've lost all kinds of money. Or maybe it was a party that grabbed your attention, that got you into an addictive issue that you're still struggling to give over. Or maybe it was just a stinking website that somehow popped up and grabbed your attention, and now you're still struggling with the aftermaths of it today. Your life was better before that grabbed your attention, and you wish it had never happened. Well, let's go to another term I think that may be even better than grab your attention. How about things you give your attention to? You see, here's the truth. Emotions fuel the things that grab our attention. I mean, I'm just emotionally drawn to something. Is this thing ringing bad? I'm just emotionally drawn. Yeah, there it goes. Orlando, you know how to fix that deal? All right, that's the man. I like the pajama bottoms.
Yeah.
He's looking good. All right. You know, so often, guys, the things that grab our attention are things that just emotionally excite me. Sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. But here's what I want you to see. Direction fuels the things that we give our attention to. You know, when you decide, I want to go in a certain direction in my life, I'm not just going to have good intentions, I'm going to go in the right direction, then you begin to give yourself to those things that will lead you down that path. It's where I want to be. It's who I want to be. And that brings me to the even stronger term than grab attention or give attention, and it's that we pay attention. You see, when I pay attention, it means there's a price to be paid. Here's what we don't want to necessarily face, is that to go down the right path, I've got to make some choices about not going down another path. What I like to believe is that we can go down every path that comes our way. What we'd like to believe is that we can have it all. But this term pay attention is so useful because it says to me, to go down the right path, I'm going to have to pay a price and say no to some other paths. You see, you can't have it all. Everything's not going to always be right there in front of you. If you have your Bible, let's look to the Scripture together this morning. Go to Genesis chapter 39. And let's see a great example of a man who decided to pay attention to the right things, even when other efforts were trying to grab his attention. You remember this story, I'm sure. It's Joseph. He's been sold into slavery. I mean, life's a pretty bad deal. He's been through prison. Now he is running Potiphar's household. He's a powerful man. But not only is he a powerful man, but he's a good-looking guy. Look at the end of verse 6. In the IV it says, now Joseph was well built and handsome. How you like that one? I still do like the King James on that one. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. What's that mean? It's okay to recognize this. Even the Holy Spirit recognized this. He's a good looking, well built guy. Got any of those around here? Well, keep looking. Okay. He's a good looking, well built guy. In fact, if you read your Bible, there's three times the Bible says this about something. It says about Joseph, it says about David, it says about Absalom, which says to you this morning, there's nothing wrong with being good looking and well built. Now, it's absolutely not fair, okay? But there's nothing wrong with it. So Joseph's this good-looking, well-built guy. And not only does the Holy Spirit, the Bible, recognize that, but Potiphar's wife recognized it. But look, after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph. I like the King James there even better. She looked with desire at Joseph. We've got one word in the New Testament to cover that one. What is it? Lust. Okay, everybody wake up with me. What's the word?
Lust.
Okay. She begins to lust after Joseph. And she says to him, come to bed with me. Well, she's got a subtle course, doesn't she? I mean, she just right up, I want to sleep with you. I want to go to bed with you. Look what happens. But Joseph, he refused. He says no. She seeks to grab his attention. He says no. What's he say? With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one's greater in this house than I am. My master's withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Answer number one, why does Joseph say no? He says no because her husband has been very good to him. All right? Now, do you think Joseph is tempted here? I mean, here he is. He's been sold into slavery. He's now in Egypt. He's not back in Canaan. There's nobody here who shares his value. Nobody else who believes in God. He's all alone in this house with this powerful woman. And you know what? She wants him. But he says no. Now look at his number one answer though. What happens next? He said, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? What's Joseph's biggest issue here? Not just your husband's been good to me, but God's been good to me, and how in the world could I do this against God? Here's the deal here. Joseph sees God. You know what's going to make the difference in your life as to whether you stay on this path and you pay attention to the right things or not? What's going to make the difference is, do you see God? When you're out on that date and everything's getting pretty hot and heavy, you know, and everything within your body says, we need to go a whole lot further. Do you see God? When you're tempted in that business deal to do something unethical, when you're tempted in that class, you know, to cheat, would it be a lot easier just to copy somebody else's paper than to have to write the 20-page paper yourself? The issue is, do I see God around me? Because this woman's after him. But he sees God. You know, when I was young, and you went to a retreat like this, and you know, we didn't have near the opportunities you guys have in lots of ways. And we're talking about maybe, you know, you're out on a date, or you're at her apartment, and things start going wrong and bad, you know. And what the preacher would say when I was growing up was, what are you going to do if God walks in the room? And we go, oh my goodness, we'd stop, you know? We were smart kids. But I found out the older I've grown and more I've read Scripture, that's not a good question. The question is not what happens if God walks in the room. God walked in the room as soon as you walked in the room. My friends, the Bible says is that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God lives within you. That is where he is. And so Paul's strongest argument against hooking yourself up with somebody you shouldn't hook yourself up with is that you've got the Holy Spirit in you. How can you link your body with the Holy Spirit with her? And that's what's going on here with Joseph here. I mean, here he is in his home, all alone with this powerful woman, and she wants him. And where's his daddy? And where's his brothers? My goodness, they sold him. And he could say, where's God? How did God let this happen to him? But he goes, you know what? I look around this room, Miss Potiphar, and I don't just see you. I see God, and I can't do this against God. I love God too much. And my friends, if you're going to stay on this path, here's what we're talking about this weekend. We're talking about staying power on the mission and purpose. What's going to keep you on the path is not just that you came to this retreat or that you're part of a great campus ministry, because you're about to leave in a month or so and go home and be away from this campus ministry, and eventually you're going to graduate and be away from your campus ministry. The question is not, is this a great campus ministry or you're part of a good church? The question is, do you have God in your life? When you go home this summer and everybody here is not around you, you know, and the singing's not quite so fired up, you know, and the church is not quite as supportive, and you've got to live for God, what do you do? Well, if you're like Joseph, it doesn't matter where you are. If you love God, you think, how in the world could I do this against God? And keep reading the story. It's like Satan is always. He's going to keep trying to grab your attention. And though she, that's Miss Potiphar, spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One translation says, he refused to even listen to her. Now listen to me this day, okay? Because there are going to be so many different things in your life that are going to try to grab your attention. And here's the lie Satan's going to try to tell you. You can pay attention to all of it. Because listen to me. If you pay attention to everything, you've paid attention to what? Nothing. See, the issue here this morning is, what is the focus of your life? Joseph is not willing to listen to all those voices. He's not willing to say, okay, Mrs. Potiphar, let's go hang out and talk about this thing, you know? I mean, let's spend some more time together. We need to talk more. Oh, no. He won't even be with her. And then look what happens. She comes again. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She called him by the cloak, and she said, come to bed with me. Don't you wish you'd at least learn a new line, all right? But he left his cloak in her hand and he ran out of the house. You know, Joseph in my day, we'd say he was the first streaker, all right? I mean, he gets out of there. I mean, he runs from her. Why? Because he knows if he sits there and negotiates with her and talks with her, he's in trouble. So listen to me, guys. What we're talking about here is going to take some discipline. And what's going to make the difference in whether you're going to stay on the right path or not is, do you see God? If we had the time to read the entire 39th chapter of Genesis, we would see four times in that chapter it says these words, the Lord was with Joseph. Four times. So guys, the key to this retreat and your staying power, and the key to you going home, and the key to you graduating and move somewhere brand new, the key to you being successful is, do you understand the Lord is with you? Why? Because if the Lord has your attention, He determines your direction, and that determines your destination. But can I ask you, what today really has your attention? I mean, what has gotten the focus of your life? Listen to me, guys. This is so central to the Bible. There's over 36 writers of Scripture. And I would challenge you to find any writer in Scripture that doesn't at some point deal with this idea of what do you pay attention to. Let me just show you some Scriptures real quickly, okay? Let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 7. They're moving into the Holy Land. They've been given the law of God. Here's what Moses says. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep His covenant of love with you as He swore to your forefathers. That's what He's saying. Guys, pay attention to what God's told you. Listen to David, Psalms 108:19. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Keep me on that right path. Look at another one of the psalmists. I love this. Psalms 119, verse 37. I can't get over this psalm. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Now, here's what we got to do. We got to get our attention away from worthless things. Psalms 147, verse 4. It's not up here on the screen, but this psalm is really... I read this the other day. He's talking about a man, and he says about him, when he dies, his projects die with him. His projects die with him. Here's what I want to avoid, my friends. I don't want to be the kind of person that the major attention of my life dies with me. I don't want to be the person that when I die, what I really love and what I really gave my life to doesn't last. My projects die with me. And yet, let's think about, guys, how many things, as this passage says, are worthless things that really grab our attention? How many of us pay more attention to a TV show than we do to Scripture? How many of us have a hobby that dominates more of our time than the kingdom of God? And I hate to get really personal here, but this is going to challenge me too. How many of us get more fired up about a football game that won't matter 100 years from now than we do about the Lord? Now understand, this is an Alabama fan talking in front of you right now who's pretty fired up about a national championship, all right? But I remember, you know, some of my friends and I got together the day of the national championship, and we went to this place in downtown Montgomery called Dreamland, you know. And we were going to have our pre-game banquet, you know. And I invited this one friend of mine, his name is Stedman Ward. Stedman's a young Christian, and he's a huge Alabama fan. His car is called the Bama-mobile, and he had it painted, you know, with all these Alabama symbols all over it, you know. He's just a diehard Alabama fan, and we're having this banquet, and we're talking about, you know, the game coming up. I've got some of my kids and some of my friends, and Stedman and I get back in the car afterwards, and I'm thinking, my goodness, buddy, here's a young Christian, you know, and look how fired up we are about this thing. And I finally turned to Seth and said, Stedman, I said, here's the challenge for you and me. Here's the real challenge. Are we going to be as fired up about Jesus Christ as we are about this game? Because the truth is, guys, we get crazy about these things. Some of you Gator fans know, just the other day, 3,000 of you guys turned out in the drizzle to watch Tim Tebow try out. Just do a workout. Well, I don't blame you. I think I'd have been there too. I went to Alabama spring game a couple of years ago. 92,000 people showed up for a scrimmage. It didn't even count. We spent all day doing it. Hey guys, I'm not opposed to any of those things. I sort of enjoy those things. Quite honestly though, I'm a little embarrassed by those things. How about you? Now for some of you, you Florida State fans, it's been easier to avoid that distraction. But for some of you... Sorry about that. We've all gone through downtown. Okay? Okay, guys. Forgive me, FSU guys. All right. Because do you get my point? In the long run, are we going to give ourselves completely to things that really don't matter? And does it not convict us that I can get that fired up about something that's not going to last, and then when I go to church on Sunday, I sit there like a knot on a log. I go to the game on Saturday, man, and I spend all day going crazy about it and screaming and yelling, and then I go to church and act like God's not there. And there's just something wrong about that. But look at a couple more passages. Look at Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. It's like learning to drive. You learn in driver's ed. Don't pay attention to the car you're passing or the car that's passing you, because what gets your attention will determine your direction. If you start looking at that billboard too much or that person walking down the side of the road, you'll start going in that direction. So you have to look straight ahead. Many of you men, you have to learn. When you go places and you're in a hotel room by yourself, that you got to be really careful on flipping those channels and where they land. Any of you girls have to be very careful when you go to the mall and you got one item to buy that you look straight ahead. Why? Because so many other things get your attention. And that's the challenge of Scripture, is that we look straight ahead. Look at what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now understand, in Jesus' day, they have no electricity. Sounds like some of our cabins. I mean, in Jesus' day, they have no electricity, you know. They have to carry lanterns. They put a lantern, like a Coleman lantern, way out on a pole. And they stick it out and they follow where the lantern points them. And Jesus says, if you've got a good eye, if you're looking in the right direction, your whole life's going to be good. But if you got a bad eye and you're looking the wrong direction, your whole life will be bad. So do you understand what I'm trying to say here this morning? I know you guys are tired, but here's the deal. What gets your attention determines your direction. And Jesus says, if your attention isn't... Guys, you can't have your attention going in sinful, wrong ways and expect somehow to go to heaven. You've got to have your attention on what's right. Now let me show you one more passage. And I don't know the author of this one. It's Hebrews chapter 2. We're not sure who wrote it. But whoever wrote it, he was good, all right? He says, we must pay more careful what?
Attention.
Attention. Therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. Now, here's the temptation for us. Guys, you don't have to reject God. You don't have to say, I hate you, Jesus. All you got to do is drift. I mean, you guys, you go to the ocean all the time. You ever been out there on some kind of float, you know, and you're not paying attention? Maybe you fell asleep, you know, and before long, you know, you wake up and you have drifted way out of the ocean, not even intending to. You didn't make your mind up to do that. You didn't set out to. You didn't even paddle to go out there. You just slowly but surely drifted. And spiritually, guys, that's the great temptation, is to drift. Because here's what happens. It happens so slow, so subtly, that I don't even realize it's going on. So that's why he says, you got to pay a careful attention to who you really want to be. You know, as you prepare to go home this summer, or you prepare to graduate and move somewhere else, the challenge is how you can keep from drifting. I mean, you know this. You go home, and you get around old friends who remember who you used to be, you know, and all of a sudden, you just, without almost thinking, your language goes bad. Your attitude goes sour. Your disposition is negative. Why? Because you just slowly but surely drifted. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you not to allow yourself to drift. So here's the application of this morning's lesson, all right? Here's what I want you to think about. What are some things and some people I should pay less attention to? What are some things and people I should pay more attention to? Guys, this is really easy to apply to somebody else. But here's the truth. Your direction, not your attention, will determine your destination. And here's what we've added this morning. We've added this morning is... your attention, whatever has your attention, will determine your direction, which will determine your destination. So I'm asking you this morning, what are some things in your life that just have way too much attention? Some of them may be some sinful things that you need. Maybe it is that website. Maybe it is that person, you know, that's just led you down a wrong path. And you just need to cut that off. Or maybe it's not even something simple. It's just really not that important. But somehow right now it's dominating your life. What do you pay less? Let me get real specific here about this summer, because I know that's one of the focuses of this retreat. It is when you go back home and all the old ruts are there. And you fall in love with Jesus this school year. I've met a lot of you. A lot of you are just freshmen. Amen. This has been a life-changing year. There's some of you that are actually going to be baptized this afternoon. All right? Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
That's good, man. And you've charted out a new direction in your life. But you're going to go back home. And it's going to be easy to drift. I'd like some people, just for a few moments. We've got a few moments before we're going to take a break for our class. I'd like some people just to share one thing that you're going to pay less attention to, one thing or person, and one thing or person that you're going to pay more attention to. Who would stand up and share that with us? Somebody just stand up and share. Let's have a few of these. Okay? Stand up, my girl.
Less attention to past hurts.
Okay. All right. Less attention to past hurts. Did you hear that? And those kind of past hurts, I mean, unforgiveness, can dominate your life, can it? Awesome. Anybody else? Something you're going to pay less attention to or more attention to, okay?
Less attention to sin.
Okay, just less attention to sin, all right?
Yes.
And okay, what are you going to replace that with? What are you going to pay more attention to?
To the Word of God and to what He says,
okay.
To the truth.
Okay, more less attention to sin, more attention to the Word of God, the truth, okay? Somebody else out here, get specific. Yes, sir.
Less attention to myself and my interests, more attention to God and His power.
Wow. Did y'all hear that? Less attention to myself and my interests, and more attention to God and His power. Now that's where we're really getting in trouble, isn't it? Because we're so focused on self. And if you go home this summer, you know, and you're just focused on, well, what are people doing for me, you know? Is the church here encouraging me? Is there a good group for me? Is there anybody my age? Anybody fired up? You're going to be in trouble. But if you go, well, you know what? I don't care what's going on around me. It's the power of God within me, right? And I'm going to go here to make a difference for the kingdom. That's powerful. Somebody have their hand up back here. Yes. Oh, you're going to have to speak up. I can't hear. Amen. Well, that's an easy one. We live in a critical age, don't we, you know? And here's what would happen is we all get in this mindset of criticizing everybody and everything. It's a way of life. I mean, you think about it, guys. Some politician makes a 30-minute speech. You've got 10 news channels for 24 hours critiquing his speech. I mean, who's going to look good after that? I mean, we just tear, in our culture today, we just tear people down. That's one thing I hate about news talk radio. Honestly, I hate about sports talk radio, even though I enjoy some of that. Is that, man, we don't realize we're talking about people. And we get, what I'm trying to say is, you make a great point there. We get in this mindset of being so critical and negative that we can't say anything positive. We'll talk about that a little bit in the next hour when we get a little more practical. Somebody else, what do you pay less attention to? More? Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's so powerful. Less attention to outer beauty, more attention to it. I mean, think about it, guys. If many of us pay as much attention, you know, to what goes on the inside as we pay about the outside, you know, about how we look, about our, you know, that's an incredible point. Because this body is going to fade away. You know, Paul says, you know, my body is fading away moment by moment, but my inside is being renewed moment by moment. Okay, that's powerful. Somebody else, help us out here. Yes, sir.
Less attention to anger towards other people, but more attention to forgiving those people.
Okay, less attention to anger towards other people, more attention to forgiving people. Guys, you're doing such a healthy thing here, guys, because when you want to get rid of a bad habit, here's what you can't do is you say, well, I'm going to stop being so angry. That didn't work. That's like telling yourself, don't lust, don't lust, don't look. Does that work for you? No. You got to get your eyes off one thing and your eyes on something else. All right? And I love that. Okay, yes, sir. Ooh, did y'all hear that one? Less attention to what I don't have and more attention to what I do have. You know? Well, that's a big attitude determiner in life. Do I focus on the good in my life or the bad in my life? Guys, every one of us, there's something bad going on right now. Now I can focus on that, or I can focus on the blessings. That will change your life. Okay, one more. Yes, sir.
Less attention to lifting myself up, and more attention to lifting up others and lifting God up.
Man, gosh, that's strong. Less attention to lifting myself up, more attention to lifting others and God up. It's like coming to this retreat. And this weekend, you can come here thinking, okay, well, you know, how are people going to treat me? Did I get in the cabin with the people I wanted to, you know? Are the right folks talking to me, you know? Am I getting any attention? Or you can come here and go, you know what? I'm here to be used by God. I know as a speaker, the worst thing I could do coming to a weekend like this is going, well, will they like me? Will they laugh at my jokes? You know? Will they tell me thank you? Will they... That is totally demoralizing. But if I come here and I go, you know what? Now, I like to pray this prayer before I come to something like this. Lord, I wish I could... I really don't want to care what they think about me. I want to care what you think about me.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Guys, there is freedom. There's complete freedom in your life when you make that kind of decision. So here's our deal this morning. All right, you want some staying power? What's got your attention? If you stay focused on what you've been focused on, will that lead to the direction that leads to the destination that you would actually want to be at? And that's why God gives us all these warnings. He's like your parents. You ever had your parents come and say to you, you know, I just think you're hanging out with some bad people. You hear that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, or maybe, yeah, okay. Some of you bad people are here. But I mean, they say to you, you know, or maybe a parent or a friend or a minister says to you, you're just paying too much attention to this person. You're paying too much attention to this thing. Now, I don't know about you, but quite often when someone confronts me that way, my wife has really great discernment about people. And often in my life, I've been burned because I just sort of trust everybody, which in some ways is a great quality, but in some ways leaves me sort of blind. And there are points in my life where my wife come up to me and said, buddy, you're in a friendship right now that's not good for you. I mean, this you're paying way too much attention to this. And, you know, for years of my life, I would get real defensive with her. I'd say, you don't know what you're talking about. I've got enough sense to know whether I need to be in this friendship. I've not got enough sense whether I need to go to this place. And so, if you're not careful, we get really defensive about this thing. When someone says, you're paying way too much attention to her, way too much attention to him. You're spending much too much time on video games, spending too much time, you know, on the internet. And we get all defensive with our parents or our wife or a good Christian friend. But see, understand this about your parents or this friend. They're not responding to where you are right now. They're responding to where you're going. Okay? They're saying, what I see here is a problem, not so much right now. But if you keep dating this person, where's it going to lead you? If you keep going to that site, who are you going to become? If you keep making that the focus of your life, that's where the Bible is so fired up about idolatry. Because you become like what you focus on. That's why it's so dangerous. And so when that person comes up to you and says, you need to stop paying so much attention to this, don't get defensive because they're looking at where you're going instead of where you are. And listen to me from this message this morning. Your Heavenly Father, when He tells you in His Word, get over that. Stop paying so much attention to yourself. Get out of that sin. Don't focus on that. Say no to that relationship. He's not saying those things because He wants to bum you out or He wants to steal your joy or take away your fun. God says those things because He's not focusing on the moment. He's focusing on the outcome. You see, here's our problem. We're so focused on the moment and the thrill that often I'm blinded to the long-term destination. So again, your attention determines your direction. So can I ask you this? I want you to think long term just for a couple minutes here. Long term. What are you really paying attention to right now in your life? What's grabbed your attention? Is it healthy, good, bad? And if it keeps your attention, where's your destination going to be? In life, will that lead you to have the right married partner? Will that lead you to the right spiritual walk with God? Will that lead you to really being faithful to God when times get tough? Because they're going to get tough. Will that lead you to say no to Satan when Miss Potiphar throws her body at you? And what are you going to do? Or are you? And I have a feeling there's a lot of you this way, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have dedicated this weekend to be here if you didn't want to pay the attention to the right kind of things. And you're not perfect, but your life's getting focused on the right thing. And that kind of attention is going to lead you to the right direction, which is going to lead you to the right destination. And that's what your Father wants for you. Orlando, do you know the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Anybody here know that song that would lead that for us? Come on up here, Wes, if you would. Come, or you can start it from there. But as we close out, I'd like us just to sing that song as we think about the focus of our life being the right place. Jerome, you can candle it, can't you? All right. Just start it. This crowd will help you go.